May the Lord bless the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Probably the, if you wanted to say the thesis sentence of the gospel lesson this morning has a very familiar ring to all of us, especially on the more than just the one Sunday a month that we do the whole Decalogue, when we say the summary of the law. And we hear what our Lord said not only to this young lawyer, but to all of us, when He asked, what do I have to do? What is required for me in order to gain eternal life? And our Lord encapsulates everything. But now before we go any further, just because what our Lord says is short and is easy to be remembered, we need not think that it's easy. Because once you start in unpacking what all that means, we could be here all day. We're not, because the Presbyterians have to come in, so don't worry about it. But we could be here all day as we unpack what our Lord said on that day. He says that we're to love the Lord our God with our heart, with our soul, with our strength, and with our mind. And then, if that's not enough, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I've thought about this passage a lot, because he launches then into a parable based on what the lawyer asked him, which almost leads us to believe that the lawyer had no problem with loving God with everything he had. And we could think of that and probably say, well, we have no problem loving God with everything we have, until we think about how our Lord challenged him with the parable. Because it's obvious that the lawyer is convicted greatly with the parable. We see that kind of at the end when our Lord looks at him and says, now, who was a neighbor to this man? And the lawyer's not even willing to say the Samaritan. Did you notice that? He says, the one who showed kindness. It shows the strife that goes on between a Jew of those days and the Samaritans, who they considered less. Half-breeds, really, would be the name that they would give them. And he wasn't even able to say that because he didn't. It was under the teaching that nothing good could come from there. Nothing good could come from Samaria. And so by our Lord picking this as an example of what it means to be holy, he could recognize the truth of the story and give the right answer without really saying what it was. And so, we come away from this with the understanding that wrapped up in loving God with our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind, naturally outflows into that of loving our neighbor as ourselves. And it's impossible to do one without the other. Because if we do the one, if we only look at the first part of that, and we love God with everything we have, we end up with a very cold, hard, ritualistic religion. Because we focus on law. Now, it's easy to do. It is easy to do. And we need to make sure that we understand that the Bible does contain rules. It contains boundaries. A good friend of mine has a picture on the wall of a train that has just fallen off of its tracks. And he uses it as he counsels young people. And he does it all day long. 24 hours a day almost, because his cell phone. He counsels young people that need help. And he has this picture, and he tells them sometime, almost any time he's talking to them, to look back at that picture. And he says, tell me, when is a train most free? They look at it, and, well, the answer is when it's on the tracks. Because any time a train jumps tracks, it may be free, but problems are about to happen. And we have to understand that the laws of the Bible are not, they're the tracks that our train runs on. And we may look at them sometime as confining, but they're confining for a very particular reason. Because once we jump off of those, we end up destroying not only ourselves, but the people around us. I've told people many times that if you could just follow, without trying to get into the theology of God, Because the people I talk to come from all walks of life, and sometimes you got to start somewhere, some without even an understanding of going back and saying, well, the Bible told me so. Because they don't really hold to the Bible. But if you could just follow the laws of the Bible, you would be a happy person. You would be doing good. And so those laws are there for a reason. However, if we only focus on those laws, they get very rigid. And if we're not very careful, we tend to slap down anybody that walks outside of those boundaries. All the while not really looking at ourselves when we walk outside of those boundaries. That's not saying we shouldn't, but it's saying that if we only focus on the one, if we put all of our focus on loving God, with everything we have, that tends to be all we look at. And we look at, I've got to follow this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And that's what our Lord says. He uses every single word that to His readers and to His hearers' understanding would have meant this is the total person. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Every single thing you have. The total person. If we only focus on the second one and love our neighbor as ourselves, while we will end up doing what looks like good, we forget those laws. And we end up with a gospel that really doesn't help. It kind of patches holes. It kind of pats people on the back. But it never gets to the point to where it realizes part of the problem that we're in has to do with we're not following the rules that God has asked us to follow. And if we only focus on, well, I want to love my neighbor as I love myself, and forget all about the first part of that, well, we don't want to hurt ourselves. We don't want to do to ourselves anything that makes us unhappy, and so we focus that on others as well. And so when people come to us and we try to help them, we tend to pat them on the back without saying, well, part of the reason that we're in this predicament is we've made bad choices or something of the like, however we tell people that. So on the one hand, we end up with nothing but legalistic, ritualistic law that can't help anybody because it's so stringent. On the other hand, we end up with no standard whatsoever that can't help anybody because there's no standard. And so our Lord pulls these two together and says, this is what we have to do. We have to not only understand that we love God with everything that we have, but we reach out constantly to love our neighbor. And we have to do both, because we can't truly love God if we don't love our neighbor, and we can't truly love our neighbor if we don't love God. My Navy friends tell me that when they go through water survival training and water first aid, that one of the things they're first told, because the Navy, they deal with water a lot, and so they have to be trained how to save people from water. One of the first things they're taught is if you jump in to save a drowning person, it is very possible that you're going to have to physically overpower that person in order to save them. And if not, you both may drown. And so oftentimes, one of my Navy friends told me, he says, honestly, the way we tell them, be prepared to knock that person out in order to save their life. Well, that's pretty harsh, if you think about it, you know? But at the time, what's the most important? And I ask you the question, when the guy jumps in with everything to save this guy's life and ends up having to knock him out, does he love it? Yeah, he does. When my son reaches up to grab something that we know he shouldn't, and they do all the time, and we pop his hand or something a little lower, and he cries, do I love him? Well, yeah. Is he crying? Yes. But I know
that what he's going to grab is going to hurt him. Sometimes when we tell a friend or a family member something that they don't want to hear, but they need to hear, do we love them? Yes, we do. That's what our Lord said. And while this is a great and wonderful passage about what it means to be a neighbor, I believe what our Lord's doing is He is gently rebuking this lawyer to tell him this is what you need to do. He's showing him the condition of his heart. That he has so much disdain for somebody else that he can't even mention their name. He can't even comprehend that they would do good. And so he shows him that picture. And so every Sunday that we say the summary of the law, we're saying the same thing. We're dedicating ourselves. We're confirming within ourselves that we're going to love God with everything that we have. We're going to obey His commandments. We're going to do what He calls us to do, understanding that we're human, understanding that we're going to stumble and fall, and understanding that God loves us and picks us up. We're going to do that. I will love God with my heart, with my mind, with my soul, and with my strength. Everything I have, I'm going to love God. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Meaning that I'm going to take this love that God has shown to me, I'm going to take this relationship that God has offered it to me, and I'm going to walk and reach out and offer that to other people. I'm going to correct where there is wrong, and I can correct. I'm going to lift up where there is right, and I can lift up. Truly being the salt and light to the world. We're going to not only love God, but we're going to love our neighbor as well. That's what God is calling us to do. To take this that we've been given and not only focus on us, not just focus on the us side of it, of what can I do, but to extend our arms, to reach out to others, holding here and reaching here as we take this to everyone around us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.